The Lord Christ will speak to you through his holy living word this evening in Psalm 86, verse 5. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 86, verse 5. Psalm 86, verse 5, as you just sang together, this is the very word of God. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Let's read it again. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. We're still in our series I'm referring to as Special Requests, before we begin to preach through the New Testament together. And I do have a number of sermons still to preach for your requests. Some of them will take a little bit more attention and time. And I was mindful to have a verse that would probably be easier to manage the time of my week, but also our time tonight to make sure we have ample time for the Lord's Supper together after this part of the service. And so I'm answering my own special request this evening. I wanted to take a look at this verse, but I also thought it would be a real blessing for you to meditate on this verse together to prepare you for the Lord's Supper. And I think it really ties nicely with this morning's sermon message of the Scripture. I first started meditating on this verse a little bit more closely by help of John Bunyan. I often say reading Pilgrim's Progress is such a great way of learning my Bible better. We were reading book two about Christiana and her boys. I've never read that part. We're reading it together off and on in family worship, and we always look up some scriptures that it's clearly alluding to or quoting, and we give some time to think about it. We didn't have time to do that together as a family, to think a lot about this verse. We thought of other verses it was mentioning around it. We read this actually when the Limbs were here with us for family worship together. But I went away saying, wow, that has to be in the Bible. I know that's in the Bible. I just need to be reminded of where. And I want to know that verse better. And it is. I did a search on my computer. And of course, the Lord is ready to forgive. That's the part that really stuck out to me. And so I've requested it for us as we prepare for the Lord's Supper together. Here's the section that we read. Book 2, Pilgrim's Progress, Christiana and her sons. Christiana opens her door. Somebody's been knocking on the door. She opens the door to the man who says this: my name is Secret. I dwell with those that are on high. It is talked of where I dwell as if thou hast a desire to go thither. Also, there is a report that thou art aware of the evil thou hast formerly done to thy husband, in hardening of thy heart against his way, and in keeping of these thy babes in ignorance. Christiana, the merciful one has sent me to tell thee that he is a God ready to forgive, and that he taketh delight to multiply to pardon offenses. He is a God ready to forgive, beloved. David, who is ready to be forgiven, praises God's goodness for his constant readiness to forgive. What holds you back from progressing, pilgrim? What holds you back from progressing in your holy pilgrimage? Among other things, I submit to you, as I've meditated on this verse for my own self, quite often what holds you back from progressing in your holy pilgrimage is a lack of a sense of constant forgiveness. Beloved, drink down a fresh cup of forgiveness in the Lord's Supper this evening. drink down more mercy tonight. Secret next said to Christiana, he also would have thee know that he inviteth thee to come into his presence to his table, and that he will feed thee with the fat of his house and with the heritage of Jacob thy father. Christians, Jesus invites you to his table, and the very sacrament is a visual cue that he is ready to forgive you. As we have meditated on it as a family, I believe even with the Reese's here with family worship, we talked about it a little bit one night. Yeah, we did, because we sang this together. Think about this glorious image. Think about how you would respond differently to two situations. Think about it talking with our children. You've done something, and you know you've offended your father, and you want to approach him, but you know he won't forgive you. He's not a forgiving person. And if you were to approach him, he wouldn't say, I forgive you. He may say, ah, it's all right, don't worry about it, but that's not forgiveness. He may not answer. He may remind you of how bad you are, how bad it is what you did. And if that's the kind of father that you are to approach, you are less likely to approach him, because you know he's not ready to forgive. He won't forgive me. So you're hesitant to approach. But what are you told again tonight in the scripture? That's not the father you have in heaven. The father you have in heaven is immediately ready to forgive you. He's the father that goes out and meets you halfway as you come home to repent. He comes out to get you and kiss you and put a ring on your finger and throw a party. He's ready at every moment to forgive you. You need only call upon him for forgiveness. And you're being told again tonight, come for forgiveness. Come to the table for forgiveness. He will immediately forgive you through the blood of Christ. He is ready to forgive you. So may you be ready to be forgiven. The Lord is ready to forgive you. This is the message. The Lord is ready to forgive you. God is so good that his covenant mercy never fails to be ready to forgive you. He says, Lord, for thou, Lord, art good. God is so good. Yes, I did have in mind some of one of our elders' emails, the way he'll tend to write, the way he'll have superlative letters to express. It's so wonderful. Well, I emphasize that to you. That's it's as if David, if he were to write this out on a typewriter, he'd just hold on to the O button for a while. God is so, then good would be in big explanation. In capital letters, bolded, underlined, italicized, with lots of exclamation points. God is so good. And I'm thinking to myself of another little children's song, if you will. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. That wouldn't be a bad thing to sing on your head tonight after, sing as you lay your head on the bed tonight, on the pillow after you partake of the Lord's Supper. Maybe thinking of that as you partake tonight. God is so good to me. He's so pleasing, you could translate the word for good. He's so desirable. And what is on David's mind when he's saying, you're so good to me, should be on your mind. First of all, you're so good because you are plenteous in mercy, he says. Plenteous in mercy. Literally, you could just say, much mercy. Much mercy God has for me. Now, remember, in our study of Psalm 136, it has 26 verses, and how does every single verse end? 26 times. For his mercy endureth forever. Plenteous in mercy. Much mercy. So much mercy that 26 times in one psalm, every single end of the verse, for his mercy endureth forever. So the message for that psalm in the sermon was, praise the Lord for his unceasing covenant mercy. Forever. La'olam in the Hebrew. It's this idea of eternity beyond time. And so I translate it, you might remember, not just the word mercy. The word mercy doesn't fully get through the idea in the Hebrew. I gave it covenant mercy to get the right idea, the full idea. The word is chesed in the Hebrew. It's a very, very important word, chesed. It expresses the idea of covenant loyalty. His mercy is mercy to you within his covenant of grace sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Micah 7, verse 18. David keeps asking for mercy because he knows that he has mercy. And he wants it again because he likes it so much. He knows God's always ready to give it when it's asked for. The Satan wants to trick you to think you can't ask for it. He's not ready to give it. No, David knows he's ready to give it, and I need more of it right now. Verse 13. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. As you partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, remember that's exactly what Jesus did when he poured out his soul and his blood for you on the cross. Great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. And here he's reflecting what we see God reveal of himself when Moses says, "Show me thy glory." And as he walks before Moses, in Exodus 34, verses 6 to 7, it is said of the Lord essentially what David is saying here in verse 15. He's gracious, compassionate, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. There it is again, plenteous in mercy. So David writes elsewhere, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Psalm 103, verse 8. Psalm 130, verses 3 to 4, verses 7 to 8. "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark in iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy," chesed, "and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Remember, that's what the Day of Atonement emphasized. All of your sins are covered. Jesus has totally taken all your sins away. God is so good to me because of plenteous mercy and because he is ready to forgive. That's actually one Hebrew word, ready to forgive. One Hebrew word. There's one word for that. He's ready to forgive. You see, God doesn't need to think about it more. "Please forgive me. Please show me mercy. I'm going to have to think about it." He did it one too many times. You're beyond 70 times 7. No, he doesn't need to think about it for a moment. He is ready to give more mercy. He's always ready to give more mercy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember Leviticus chapters 4 and 5, the sin offering and the trespass offering. A frequent refrain in both of those offerings: "And he shall be forgiven. And he shall be forgiven." That kept coming through. and he shall be forgiven. Remember, they were types of Christ. Jesus is the true sin offering for you. He's the true trespass offering for you. And he's done it once for all. Thus it is finished. Thus you are forgiven. Thus you are forgiven. Thus you are forgiven. You ever have that feeling like, I can't ask this person to forgive me again? How could they forgive me again? You know, we tend to feel like that way with the Lord. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. See, David's talking as a forgiven person. He's not a non-Christian, yet he recognizes the need to experience this forgiveness anew for displeasing his father. And his father always stands ready to forgive him. Not without consequences to learn lessons and help him grow. Temporal consequences. But always in the context of forgiveness, and even his judgments and punishments are merciful to us. Remember Proverbs 3 quoted in Hebrews 12? If you don't have a father who is disciplining you, you are a spiritual bastard. You have no father. The fact that he disciplines you shows he's merciful. He's not going to let you keep going. And isn't a lot of when our children do come to ask for mercy, it's because we've sought them out and helped them realize they need to ask for it. Sometimes the discipline is what brings them to ask. But don't we love to offer to our children after a spanking? Don't we love to offer them a hug? And don't they love to immediately receive it? To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness. Mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Daniel 9, verse 9. Beloved, the Lord stands before you in the Lord's Supper tonight, holding out his body that will never turn into a few stale crumbs under the table. The Lord in the Lord's Supper tonight holds out before you his cup full of mercy that will never run dry of the blood of Christ. He's always ready to satisfy you with himself. You can always come back for seconds. You can always come back for a refill. But you must be hungry. You must be thirsty. You must come to eat. You must come to drink. And you must keep coming back for more. You simply need to be ready to receive God's forgiveness. To get mercy, David bows to his master. There's a way of receiving the mercy. There's a way of coming before the Lord to get the mercy. And you come to him and bow to him as your master. He says, "Thou, Lord, thou, Lord, are ready to forgive." And the word Lord here is Adonai in the Hebrew, you're probably familiar with, which means master. Serving a master. He's your master. He's your master. And you have to come to him that way to receive the mercy from the master. You see, the humble are healed. The humble are lifted up. The proud he brings down because they can't ask for mercy. They won't ask for mercy. But the humble ask for mercy, then he lifts us up with his mercy. Like a mother bird, God feeds his eaglets. The ones that get the most are the ones who jump at him with their open mouths and cry the loudest. You know what I mean? You ever see the baby birds? Some of you, we've shared our pictures. Jen and I were in La Jolla for our anniversary, and we're sitting at a lovely little restaurant overlooking the coves and heard these little beep, 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 look behind us. There's a mama bird sitting on the chain link fence under a tree right behind us. I got these really neat pictures I'll send you. I think I might use them for an e-devotion, and I'll share them with you. And here's the mother birds. You got 3 to 4 little baby birds. They're fairly mature. They can fly, but they're still relying on her to eat. And you know what it is, right? And the ones closest, their mouth, it's like, all right, already, so hold on. But which are the ones that are getting fed the most? You kind of feel bad for the ones that aren't as aggressive, because they don't get as much. They're on the outside, and they, The ones that get the most are the ones that keep pushing, get close to mama and get in. And here she was. It was amazing. And mom, there was a few birds, little baby birds on both sides, and she had bread in her mouth, and she'd go, So the two that were closest to her, with their mouths open, and those are the ones that got fed the most. And she'd shove it down their little throats, and I mean, they really relied on her to eat. But the thing is she never kicked them away. Get out of here. I'm tired of you bugging me. Patiently, again and again and all the whole time we were there until we left. That's all she did. Just kept feeding her babies back and forth with getting other pieces. Just kept feeding her babies. They were loud and obnoxious, and she fed them. This is how the Lord is with us. This is how David is as the bird. So he gets fed lots of mercy. He's not ashamed to come right up and say, "More mercy, please. More mercy, please. More mercy. Me, 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 me. More mercy, please." Done. Because he asks. Like David, you must hold out your hand to have it filled. Like David, you must open your mouth to be fed, to be quenched. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, verse 54. Who has eternal life? The one that eats and drinks. The one that says, "Please feed me. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. Please give me more mercy." God is good and plenteous in mercy and ready to forgive, quote, in the verse here tonight, all that call upon thee. The ones who will receive mercy are the ones who ask. Certainly it involves confession, repentance, acknowledging the need for mercy. Covenant mercy is God's faithful loyalty to forgive you of your sins when you don't deserve it. In a situation of demerit, it's not just not getting what you don't deserve, which we tend to refer to as grace. It's not getting what you do deserve, which is punishment, full punishment that you should pay for your sins in hell forever. And even in this life, he punishes us sometimes with fatherly punishment to teach us good lessons, but never as severe as he should or could. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. David has forgiveness and mercy because he hungers and he thirsts and he cries out for mercy. Verses 1 to 4. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Verse 16. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Remember the parable Christ gives us of the Pharisee and the publican. Pharisee doesn't once ask for mercy, so he doesn't get it. He walks away unjustified. The publican asks for mercy for him, a sinner, and he walks away justified. Don't justify yourselves before the Lord tonight, beloved. Ask for mercy. Call out, cry out upon the Lord for mercy that you would have it. And it isn't only that you would cry out for mercy, but that you would cry out sincerely for it. I am a sinner. I'm a horrible sinner. Thought, word, and deed. Things I do, things I leave undone. I deserve hell, yet still, O Lord. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Those who are truly fed are those who sincerely feed. It isn't just that you call upon the Lord. What's understood and implied is more explicit in Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Earnestly come to eat and drink more forgiveness and be satisfied. If you are being true, straight, earnest with the Lord tonight, sincerely asking and calling upon Him for mercy with your soul, sincerely reaching out to take the cup of salvation and drink, to drink Christ's blood and live better, with more mercy, hunger and thirst for His righteousness, and be blessed and satisfied. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55, verse 7. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, verses 12 to 13. Just before Jesus says, eat my body. Just before Jesus says, drink my blood, in John chapter 6. And most people were too proud to think they would ever need to think about that. And almost everybody left him, so they left with no mercy. The multitudes left with no mercy. Just before he said, eat my body, drink my blood, and you'll have eternal life. Don't eat, don't drink, you'll have no life in you. Just before he says that, in verse 37 of John chapter 6, he says, him that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. Though you'll be served the Lord's Supper, have in view if it were that you were to come up to receive, he would not say, no, you stand over there. He would not turn you away. He would give you the cup. He would give you the bread. Him that cometh to me, calls on me in truth, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Look at verse 17 of our text. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hoped me and comforted me. David asks for a token. He seeks a token of God's mercy. A sign of God's mercy to help him keep going. A sign of God's mercy to feed his faith and comfort him from his accusers. His accusers that said, you're no good. You did it again. You don't think you can go be with God tonight. Show me a token. Give me a token of mercy to me and mercy to my accuser, ultimately Satan. So God knows that you need a token. And you need seek no further tonight than the Lord's Supper. That's what it is. It's a token that He stands ready to forgive you and feed you with plenteous mercy that never runs out, which is why He wants you to come and get it from Him all the time. I submit to you every single worship service at least once a week. He welcomes you who are broken and contrite to sit down this evening at His table. He shows you the bread. He'll hold out the bread and He says to you, take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He holds out his cup and says, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus preaches this picture before you. I have forgiven you. Thus I stand ready to forgive you again. Eat. Drink. I stand ready to forgive you. I've prepared the meal. Aren't you going to eat? Aren't you going to drink? You're going to walk away from the table? I've set it up for you tonight. I'm ready to feed you. I'm ready to quench your thirst. I'm ready. Are you ready? Where do you stand with Jesus tonight? Are you ready to receive His forgiveness? Are you ready to receive his forgiveness again? Sit down at the supper and send your sins away. Return to your first love. Renew your covenant with him, living it out with Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Will you call upon the name of the Lord? What is the name of the Lord? His name is Jesus. What does his name mean? He will save his people from their sins. You can do this. You can say this. You can know this. You can eat. You can drink. You can be satisfied. You can be forgiven. Again, be ready now to receive forgiveness anew. For as always, once and for all, and once again, the Lord is ready to forgive you. Beloved, the Lord is ready to forgive you. Let us approach him and be ready to receive his gracious forgiveness. Let us pray. O Lord God, you stand ready to forgive us as you hold out to us tonight your body and your blood. Bless us to respond in faith and have it fed as we take and eat, as we drink, all of us, that we have eternal life and that we grow in this life in eternal life. That we would be blessed with your mercy and be blessed to be merciful and inherit the kingdom of heaven. Lord, you hold out the cup, you hold out the bread. We hold out, as it were, our hands, and we will take and eat and drink, for we are ready to be forgiven. Thank you. Thank you for the blood of the everlasting covenant. Thank you that you are ready to forgive, and you have plenty of covenant mercy to go around. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, under the blood of the everlasting covenant, all the people say, Amen.